over the course of the last couple of days, we had a chance to see Rashi and the first approach in Tosis to the question of, again, what is the Gemara saying? The Gemara raised a question, given two answers. And the Gemara's first answer, to recap, the Gemara's first answer was particularly mysterious and intriguing. The Gemara's question was, we have two Mishnayos, once again, a Mishnah in Sukkah and a Mishnah in Erevin, and they seem like they're very parallel in the cases that they just with which they open, and yet the way the din is presented, the din is more or less the same but presented differently. In Sukkah, the language was psulos, and it was half as Arab, and by Korah, the language was imait. Right? So that was the Gemara's kasha, why the disparity in terms of the phrasing, the lashon of the din. The Gemara given two answers. Teretz number one of the Gemara was, it's because this is Daraisa and this is Rabban. Teretz number two of the Gemara was, you say psuli here because there are multiple cases. Nefishi mili. Well, we never say you might because it's single case. Right? And the Gemara being clear again, the Gemara is explicit, and for Teretz too, we would love to say you might. Boom. But said if she really, we can, so we have no choice but to drop down to a suboptimal soon. We would rather talk about solutions. Good. But Rashi had said, and this is his first answer, Doraisa versus Rabbanan, you know, let's scratch our heads why you can't say possible by Rabbanan, and you can't say it might by Doraisa or ma keshi. And so in terms of how you understand this Terence, they have Halef is Gimel. Alf is Rashi. And Rashi gave the first approach that we saw to the Doraisa Rabbanan. So Rashi had said, look, by Doraisas, the Rabbanan means, I mean, he said, Rabbanan means specifically, this is the nusach of the original Takana. It's the creation, the declaration. And he said, for that you need a shall be, not an is. So psula sounds like it is possible. And that's inappropriate, because you need to somehow convey this is hereby pronounced to be the din. So you want to say you might, that's okay. You should lower it. But whether you did in the past or not is irrelevant. I'm just saying, this is what you should do. Right? So that was Rashi's approach. Again, that was based on two different assumptions. One was that, indeed, when the Gemara means Rabbanan, it's a very narrow Okimta. Okimta is when you take a broad sounding, usually a statement from Tanan. The Gemara says, it's not only talking about a broad set of cases, we really only talk about one specific subset. So here, Rashi is making Okimta in the Gemara. When we say Rabbanan, what does it mean? Drabanans, we mean specifically the original Takan Draban. That's a pretty narrow kipta. Plus, the assumption, Hanukkah in language, the psula is mashma is, but not shall be. Okay, that was Rashi. Then we saw Tosfos had said, first Eretz in Tosfos, he worked hard on saying, the first Tosfos, Eretz Aleph, worked hard on saying, no. Really, we would always rather say you might. I said, why would we always rather say you might? Right? Tosfos said, Lishnamalia, the second beginning of Pesachim. We'd rather speak in the most refined way possible. If you could say Natar as opposed to Tameh, Matal V'manam. That's ideal. So if you could say you might, I would say Pasol. Say, here's how you fix it. Speak positively. Why not speak positively? Instead of Tameh, that's a problem. So here's what you should do. A beautiful quote from Rav Kook. Maybe you've seen it hanging on someone's wall. It's like three parallel phrases. I'm probably going to get it not get it correct, but something along the lines of HaChasidim HaYisharim Einam Kovlim Al Hara Al Mosifim Tov. The the straight, the wise people are yashar. They don't complain about, they don't focus and complain on the bad. They instead focus on adding good. Instead of complaining about the darkness, or cursing the darkness, they add light. Instead of complaining about the foolishness, the idiocy, they work to add wisdom. So that's sort of like what the Tosas is capturing. Why say pasul? Say, here's what you need to do. Let's be action oriented. Here's what you need to do. It's a problem. It says, oh, it's a problem. Well, here you better be in mind. Why not do that? That's what Tosas said. The Ra'ah, as a matter of fact, is bothered by that same issue. He gives, as you saw, even a simpler answer. Tosas is very inspiring. Ra'ah just says, you can't say pasul. He says you couldn't say pasul by the mavo anyways, because pasul sounds like you're mechuyev to change it. A sukkah, you need a sukkah. You don't need to carry, you don't need a kasher korah, just don't carry your mavo. It's optional. Anything, that's why. A different twist. But the same basic approach, again, the same basic approach, that's a side point. The same, in terms of the teretz of why this fits the rice and that fits Rabbanan, or specifically why you couldn't say, Yemaet by Sukkah. So the Tosfos, the first teretz, and the Ra'ah essentially quotes him, is that what? Is that it's dangerous. It's dangerous, right? They say you might be mashma. That is only l'chatchila. Ideally, you should change. But Tosa says, you want to make it very clear that's pasul af b'diavad. Okay. And the chance of someone misunderstanding the din is a greater cost to pay if it's a daraisa. The chance of someone violating daraisa is even a worse scenario than someone violating rabbanim. So by daraisas, even though we would rather say you might, but by daraisas we want to be careful that's clear. Okay, but that's sort of a technical answer. But now I want to turn our attention. I apologize for raising the Ra'ah because it got a lot of you sort of sidetracked. I would not focus on the Ra'ah. I'll just throw this in a twist in terms of a side point. The reason why Tosfos is saying, for Rashi, the question is, why didn't we say pasul in Eir? Right? For Tosfos in the first teretz, the question is, why didn't we say Yemaet over here? Right. But we're not bothered by why didn't we say pasul. So says, you know why it's understandable we didn't say pasul in Aaron? Because who wants to say pasul? Lishon Amalia, if you can say Yemaet better. The Ra'ah says, give a Lishon Amalia. It says, you wouldn't want to say pasul in Aaron because it doesn't even make sense. I say, a sukkah is pasul. Yeah, you have to have a sukkah. It's a mitzvah to keep a sukkah. So, this is no good pasul. It's like, it's a problem, you better fix it. Korah, you better fix it. It's a problem. Ra'ah is itself is debatable, because you may not need a korah, you could just choose not to carry it. But if you want to carry, this isn't caught up. Okay, I would not get caught up on the Ra'ah. That's a side point. The main point of Rashi's approach to the Gemara is that the concern. Drabana, the linkage is by drabanas you can't say Yemaet because you can't say pasul because you're creating the drabana. For Tosas, the main point in terms of understanding the chilum in the rice drabanas is that by the rices we need to say pasul to make it absolutely clear that this is unacceptable, because the chance of someone misunderstanding by the rice, that's terrible. By drabana, okay, if they misunderstand it, it's not great, but it's not as great a cost. So the chance of violating drabana by the rice, the chance of violating the rice. And so, for the first teresintosis, it has to do with the Chomer Hadin. Violating the Raisa is worse than violating Drabana. So the chance of violating the Raisa is a graver risk than the chance of violating the Drabana. But then Tosis the second tense. Inami. Yesh lomer delashin yemait mashma chumra drabbarim di alma. Maybe the reason why we don't say yemait but you don't say you might over here. You know why? Because that sounds like a mere chumra drabbanan. Puzzle sounds like daraisa. You might sounds like just a chumra drabbanan. Now, he's adding the least to the Gemara. The Gemara said puzzle daraisa. We say puzzle drabbanan. We say you might. So Rashi gave a whole shtickl Torah and why you can't say pasul by this type of dry bottom. And the first time Tosfos said, oh, pasul is clear, so by the rice it's that much more important. You put even more of a premium on clarity. So adding a piece.
I am sorry to interrupt. I was going to make an announcement to seniors.
So the second Torah in Tosfos again is adding the least. That's what the Gemara says. Pasul, Daraisa, Yemai, dry bottom. The question is, talk about Sprat. It almost seems like he's just reviewing the Gemara. Oh, Pasuk sounds like Daraisa. And Yemai sounds like a Chum Drabban. But that's our problem, is why? Well, what's Tosu saying? What? Tosu just, the second Tosu almost sounds like he's just reiterating the Gemara. Yeah, but we wonder why. Oh, because it's Mashma. Why? So I want to take a step away for a moment from the world of Sukkot and Mavoi to the world of Nekachos, and then maybe we'll move from that to spend a few moments in the world of Demai and Sota. And so hopefully shed a lot of light on what this Tosfos is saying as well. So we know there's a din of Nekachos. We started talking about yesterday a little bit. Right? If I order a tomato, if I don't do a Maisa Kinyan, it's not mine. Let's say I did a Maisa Kinyan, and then it turns out that the item is not what I ordered. I ordered potatoes, they deliver tomatoes. I ordered a working recorder. The recorder comes, broke, split in half. That's not what I ordered. It's not an old item that I ordered, or it's an item with a major mum. So even though I did a Maisa Kinyan, and then I open the box and discover it's not exactly what I had in mind, I did have my sakin, but it's mekachtos. I have the right to give it back. Okay. But how about if the fellow sold me tray for food? Fellow sells me tray for food. I wasn't looking to buy tray for food. I went to the kosher butcher shop to buy kosher meat. And then it turns out afterwards that the meat that he delivered accidentally requires a call to the mashgiach. I have to figure out how that mistake happened. But it's legitimate. I went to the Shaykhit. He shechted Emma. Yari Shemaim, he shechted Emma. Then he realized afterwards, he sold a piece of meat, and then as he's dissecting the internal organs, discovers the traits. He discovers there's some sort of deformation in one of the internal organs. So he gives me a call. He should know that's traits. Don't eat it. Traits. So either I ate it or I didn't eat it. Right? Or maybe I ate part of it. So now the question is, if I ate it, come out. Let's say I didn't eat it. I want my money back. Yeah, I want a refund. That's not what I ordered. I ordered kosher meat. You gave me trade for me. How about I'll give him the meat back. He'll give me back the money. How about if I did eat it already? But I did eat it. I can't give him the food back. Right? So what would you say?
Very satisfied.
I was satisfied. Right?
But it fulfilled the same
purpose. Okay. So on the one hand, I got a place to get me a lot of it. On the other hand, that's not what I ordered, right? I ordered kosher meat. You didn't give me kosher meat. On the one hand, on the other hand. What does the Rambam say? Let's take a look. So whoever didn't pick up the packet this morning, I saw a few, whoever didn't take this morning, they can pass. You didn't get this supplementary packet, didn't this, Bach? Or not. Take a look at the end of Parak Tazayin. Prakim Tezvav and Tezayin of Hilchos Nechira. Hilchos Nechira is one of the largest sections of all of Mishnah Torah. Prakim Tezvav Tezayin deals with halachas of Nekach Tos. Near the end of Parak Tezayin, halachi Yud Beis, the middle of halachi Yud Beis. Vechina Shoke Yisaf, he says, a fellow sells you an animal, turns out that's stray. So take a look at the end of halachi Yud Beis. The last page of the packet, again, this is Hilchos Nechira, Parak Tezayin, the end of halachi Yud Beis. Vechina Shoke Yisaf, Paro Mechara. A fellow shechts a cow, sells it. The noda she trade for, and afterwards I find out that the animals are trade for all the pieces of meat. They're all cuts of meat I already sold. They're all trade. So if the fellow, if my customer already ate the meat, so he doesn't have to give me back meat. He already ate it, and I still have to refund the money because I sold it. It's not the item that he ordered. He ordered kosher meat. I gave him trade meat. And Masha lo achal, if there's a part of the meat he didn't yet eat, yachazir abasher lataba, give the meat, trade the meat back to the butcher, yachzor zadamim, and the butcher has to refund the money. So either way, the butcher has to refund the money. If the meat is still extant, the meat still exists, you haven't eaten it yet, you should give it back, and obviously he will sell it at a reduced price on the non-kosher market. So, but either way, you gotta refund the money, because that's not what you ordered. But then you look at halacha yud talad, the last halacha in the pair. I sell you meat, it turns out that's Bechar, therefore you're not allowed to eat Mount Torah. Or pears, I sold you a bag of apples, it turns out these are, I sold you a bag of oranges, it turns out that they're capital oranges. I sold you yayin, these are yayin, I sold you one, turns out that it's a trade. I bought a Zara wine, it turns out that it's sacramental wine, it's used a mass, a belt, yayin nesta. So, Masha Achlu, Achlu Yachs, that's a dumb, same thing. If they ate it, too bad, you still have to refund the money. Anytime you sold something which turned out to be trade from the Torah, that's the din. You got to refund the money. Whether, doesn't matter. Yeah, as long as it's daraisa. And this Rambam was quoted in Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat. But if you sold the guy something which turns out post facto, that it's Asur Midrabanan. So he says, well, if you still have it, so give it back. He doesn't have the right to return it for refund. But says the Rambam, Im acholon acholon, the ein ha-mocher machzlo klo. But if I sold you something, accidentally sold you something, which was trade for Midrabanan, and you ate it, no refund. If you can return it to me, I refund the money. But if you can't return it to me, that's the difference between Asr min ha-Torah and Asr min Rabbanan, says Rambam. Asr min ha-Torah, even though you ate it, you get your money back. Asr min Rabbanan, if you ate it already, I'm glad you enjoyed, no refund. Ask the Nesivos, at the bottom of Nesivos is a commentary of Yaakov of Lisa on Shulchan Aruch HaShem Mishpat. He is famous for being a pair with the Ktsos. Ra'ayin Leiv HaKayin wrote the Ktsos and Ba'am HaKosh, Ktsos HaKoshen and HaKoshen Mishpat, and Nesivos HaMishpat and HaKoshen Mishpat. So Nesivos asks, in Reish Lam and Gimel, I believe it is a Sifkat and Dalib. He says, well, one second. Why? I don't understand. What does it matter with Traif Terez and Traif Terabana? It's not what I ordered. The same logic should apply even by Terabanas. But apparently not. Why? So Nesiva says, you know what you see from here? I mean, this detail dug away deep in the deal of Mekach Toz, you see something about Halacha in general. You see that if you ate something which is traded from the Torah, whether you meant to or not, you did not bear it. The Peshoge, I'm Atticus, I did not. But the Maisa Aver was done. You may be more liable or less liable, but that Aver was done. But it says in the Sivas, but if I did a Drabanan Peshoge, I thought it was kosher. I went to a kosher butcher, it was legitimate. It turns out that there's a problem with Drabanan. He says, Nesiva says this radical idea. He says, you violated Drabanan, was just Peshogeg. You don't need Kapara. You didn't do anything wrong, apparently. Why? He says, because bacon is trade. Tevel Daraisa is trade. Yainesach is trade. That thing is problematic. He says, but when I, with something to Asim Drabanan, what means Asim Drabanan? Says Nesivas, that means the Torah says lo sasa. The Torah says you gotta listen to the rabbis. The Torah says you can't eat pork. The Torah says you can't drink yain nesach. And the Torah says you got to listen to the rabbis. So if I do something which violates the Issur Rabbanan, what's wrong? It says in the Sefer, it's not that the food is treif. Chazal can't make a treif. But they can make rules that I need to follow. If I don't listen to their rules, I'm rebelling against the Chachamim. Nered. So the Sefer says, but there's nothing, says in the Sefer, there's nothing intrinsically different about the Issur Rabbanan than kosher food. It's just that if I knowingly eat treif for food, I am doing a behavior which Chazal forbade, and I am thereby rebelling against rabbinic authority. It's merely, says the Nesivas, Valej Rabbanan, it's the action is wrong, because the action constitutes a merit against Chazal. But the Nesivas says, the Chazal aren't empowered to endow the food with properties of Isser. They can't change its spiritual makeup. They could just make rules that, as a Jew, I'm obligated to follow. He says, but that's why it says in the Nesivas, if I violated the Rabbanan B'shogeg, I knew anything wrong. Because I didn't have any intent there was nothing rebellious. I didn't even realize this problem. And the other way of looking at the Nesivas is that there's nothing inherent. There's nothing intrinsically different. Chazal make it there. They're not changing the properties of the item. They're not making a treif. They're just making behavioral rules that a Jew needs to follow. That's the idea of the Nesivas, and he draws it from the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is really quoting the Rambam. The way that Nesivas is usually presented, now that I gave you the paragraph, I can give you the one-liner. To go right to one-liner, to jump into phraseology, is usually a recipe for confusion. But once you have the paragraph in your head, we can then take that paragraph and give it a label. The way the Nesivas is often formulated is that Yisurim Drabbanan are always Yisurim Gavra. Yisurim Drabbanan are never Yisurim Cheftz. They can't change the status of the thing. They just make rules. If they set a rule, I'm mechuyev to listen to their rules. There's all Yisurim Gavra. I have behavioral expectations. I need to follow the instructions of Chazal. But they didn't change the essence of what the thing is. That's what the Nesivas writes. And that was accepted for quite some time, over a century. Until there was a Polish Talmud Chacham in the early 1900s. The name was Joseph Engel. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant Talmud Chacham. Absolutely, off the charts. And enormously creative. Joseph Engel, well, we'll meet him more over the course of the year. He's a sort of Talmud Chacham who, like, he says, he'll get, like, he has an assertion he wants to make, and he'll just, like, snow you under with 15 riots. Oh, let me prove to you that X, Y, Z is true. Oh, they come out here and they keeps going and going and going and going. And something Yechum have said is, even if you don't like one or two of his riots, okay, then you can, you know, then you have another 13 to go. So, Rabbi Yosef Engel has actually a very short piece in a sefer called Asavin Daraisa. It's with 27 different topics, because there are 27 letters in the alphabet. Asavin Daraisa is Aramaic for Osio Satora, because the question is, no, there are 27 letters in the alphabet, right? Right, including the Menatzbach. So that was the way his brain worked. As he saw, oh, he had 20, ready to publish a sefer, he had 27 pieces. He says, oh, 27. Oh, okay, we'll call it Asavin Daraisa. Another sefer. He got 17 pieces together, he's ready to publish. Oh, Tov. Lekach Tov, ain't Tov al Torah. Tov is a Gemara to 17. We'll call the sefer Lekach Tov. So in Asavin Daraisa, Simon Vav, he says the following. He says, you know, we were talking the other day about Demai. And he says, from the world of Demai, I will show you that the Nesivas might not be correct. That maybe Chazal have more power than Nesivas suggested. Maybe Chazal indeed can change the properties of items. How do I know? So he said, well, he said, well, he said, Demai. Actually, you know what? Let me first lay things out, and then we'll see how much time we have to develop this. Maybe we'll develop some more next week. The Nesivas proof from this Rambam, in Hilchos Mechira, it appears that there's a fundamental difference between Yisur D'Oraisa and Yisur D'Rabbanan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the universe, gave things different physical properties, and also gave things different spiritual properties. And Nesivus argues, but by Drabban, Chazal don't have that power. Chazal can just make rules. If they make an edict, I have to follow it. Lo susser, I'm not allowed to ignore them. So, but they don't change the essence of the thing. They just make rules I need to follow. And that will be why, again, the Isurim Drabban are never bechefza. Now, the Rabbi Yosef Engel argues that it might not be correct, and he has proofs to that effect. And we will see, if not now, maybe we'll see how much we get done in the next 5 minutes, but let me at least lay out. Rabbi Yosef Engel has a raya, and Rabbi Chan has another raya, that perhaps, maybe the Arishan will believe that Isurim Drabban could be bechefza. So he said, not so possible. Now, I would say, l'chora, the answer is not that it's not necessarily a steer as much as machlokas harishonim. Perhaps maybe Rambam says one way, Tosa says the other way. He quotes Yosef Engel quotes other rishonim. But I want to show you that I think that's what our Tosa said. Elchor is the pshat. What the Nesiva saw in the Rambam is l'chora. With that idea in mind, it maybe not all rishonim agree, but I think the second Teretz and Tosa agrees. Inami Yesh Omar, the Lashon Yemaid, Mashma Chumar Drabban B'Yalma. Yemaid is merely a Chumar Drabban, as opposed to Psula, sounds like it's Daraisa. Now, it's more or less what the Gemara said, but a little added language here. Yemaid sounds like merely a Chumar Drabban, as what Apostle sounds like, the language sounds like Daraisa. Why? Most likely, what Tosas is driving at is what the Nesivus saw in the Rambam, that the sukkah is pasul. That's again, and this takes us back to what, a point we had seen in Rashi, a preliminary point that Rashi made. Pasul is a statement of status. Yemayit is instructions to me. Right? Yemayit means you better lower it. Pasul means that thing is broken. That thing is no good. It's a statement. Pasul is an essential statement about the status of the thing. That's not a good, that sukkah is no good. We didn't say that the korah is no good. We said you have to lower it. You better lower it. The first Aristotle said, you better lower it, maybe misunderstood as being it would be a good thing to do, but it's not really critical. The second Aristotle said, no, forget about misunderstanding. What the language really does mean, fits Rabban's not Taraisis, or fits Taraisis not Rabban's. The sound of the second Aristotle is saying, pasul, that's Daraisa. Because that's actually making a statement about the thing. That thing is no good. That's appropriate when you talk about derisas, because the second teratotosis appears to align with the approach of the Nesivus, that only a Kadosh Baruch Hu can create spiritual qualities, halachic qualities of an item. Dinam drabanan, according to the Nesivus understanding of the Ramah and Mechira, and perhaps according to the second teratotosis, dinam drabanan never bechefza. Chazal weren't author when the Torah. It's a chiddush that Chazal can make dinim at all. That is the fact that Chazal can make zeres rabbanon. That's a trans chiddush. A chiddush that the Chumash tells us that Chazal have to listen to their way they interpret the raises, and you have to follow the new dinim rabbanon they create. That's already a chiddush that they have the right to invent new dinim. But the Nesivus would say, based on that Ramah and Mechira, and the second Tanya Tosas sounds like you would say, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them the right to make rules. We have to follow their instructions, their rules. But not to change the essence of things. So you couldn't say that that's pasul midrabanan. The thing hasn't changed. You could just tell me, you have a rule for what you need to do. You better not carry until you lower that korah. That's a din drabanan. A din d'oraisa, you could say, not just, you better lower the schach before you sit in it. It's true. But you could even say something more fundamental, which is, that's a bad sukkah. That's not a sukkah. This structure is a sukkah, and this structure is not a sukkah. That essential comment about the status of the chefza is appropriate when you're talking about derisas. It's inappropriate when you're talking about drabanan. That's what you need to understand the Tosas. Briefly, and let me just sort of wrap, if you got that, gevaldik. Let me add a postscript. The postscript is to recognize what Rabbi Yosef Engel pointed out, and later on Rabbi Chanan and the stipler added to him, that this is not universally accepted. And matter of fact, it could be that's the machlokas here on Sukkot Daf Beis Amud Alef. It could be Rashi in the first day and Tosfos don't like this idea, this distinction. The second day and Tosfos is drawing. Rabbi Yosef Engel has a fancy raya from Demai. Time does not allow us to see that. Rabbi Yochanan actually has a raya from a Rambam, which raya is a little more complicated because it calls into question the Sivus is really Rambam Hilchos Mechira, because the Rambam seems to distinguish between different types of drabanans in the world of Hilchos Sota. Some of them are actually a violation of arayos midrabanan, others are just things you shouldn't do, but not really arayos. So from that, it sounds like the Rambam there seems to understand that at least some drabanans are actually essential. So it may be that this idea made famous by the Nesivos, that drabanans are always just begavra, chazal can never impact the essence of the chefza, is probably not universally accepted. The Nesivos believe that the Rambam held that way. Bukhanan disagrees based on Rambam and Sota. But yeah, whatever the Rambam holds, it may well, it most likely is the pshat in our Tosfos. Even if it's not the Rambam, it is the second Tosfos right over here.